Comedy fans, conversation enthusiasts, it is a brand new episode of the Comedy Roundtable. Pull up a chair, settle in. We have a great conversation for you this episode. I am Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, and Adam Haig is missing this episode. So it's just Jamie and Jamie. But the good news is we have a very entertaining guest. This is the portion of the show, an introduction, where I read from the bio, which is always challenging for the person who is the guest. I hate having my bio read, but here we go. Our guest this evening is comedian, hypnotist, hypnotherapist, motivational speaker, actor, and author, Boris Cherniak. He regularly appears on television showcasing incredible powers of hypnosis, power of positive thinking. Boris motivates and inspires. He performs regularly at over 300 events per year. His stage name, the incredible Boris Cherniak, describes the sentiment of every performance literally. Welcome to our episode, Boris.
Well, thank you, Jamie. This is so good to be here. I now have to live up to all of the stuff that you said about me.
All right, let me ask you this. I spend not a lot of time, but an age-appropriate amount of time on Instagram, okay? And there is what seems to be an entire culture on Instagram that is all about mindset. And you can listen to podcasts about mindset. And I've been curious to ask somebody who's in your circumstance to tell me whether or not you guys have the experience of saying, yeah, this is what we've been telling you for years, that your mind control so much of what you do. And if you're willing to be open to the ability for your mind to be conditioned, programmed, acclimated to a certain way of thinking, you can impact significant change in your life.
Oh, wow, Jamie, you just hit it right on the head. I truly believe, and this is my view of the whole thing, and I actually created a term for it. It's called prophetic thinking.
Okay.
Think about it for a second. Basically, you materialize whatever you desire. So if your goal is to achieve something specific, that's a mindset. And the mindset is internal dialogue. What you say to yourself, you've either called yourself before stupid, or you called yourself smart, I should pat myself on the back, or anything else that the dialogue that's happening inside your mind, where I took it a little bit further. Once you know how to go after a specific thing, you consume yourself with how to get there. You become successful just because that is what you concentrate your energies on. So that's the mindset.
So Boris, we talk to a lot of comedians on this show. Generally speaking, I think without fail, they all would say that they do not like hecklers, right? They don't, it's their show. They don't need the audience to help them with their show. But as a hypnotist and a comedian, you have to have audience participation. And I'm just curious how you deal with the frustration of someone who is trying to upstage you. They interfere with your show.
I step onto every stage with a little more than some comedians do. First of all, I have to deal with the believability of hypnosis, because a lot of times you'll hear this is not real. It's all fake. People are playing along. So that's one obstacle that I have to go through. Then there's another one where people want to be the center of attention. And my job is, on stage, specifically with those type of people, is to show them who's the boss, if you like.
Do you or anyone else in the hypnosis field ever hypnotize somebody and send them back to their seat with a heckle trigger?
All the time. One of my most favorite routines is to break the fourth wall, where stuff is happening in the audience without the audience realizing what's going on.
Yep.
Specifically, for probably about 15 minutes to 20 minutes of the show, I send the participants from stage right out into the audience, where the audience gets to interact with the people in the audience. It was where the people on stage get to interact with the people in the audience, for the simple reason that it's not only for me. I want the people in the audience to see how real it is, how exact the reactions are, and how far it can be taken. Because hypnosis is always misunderstood. Oh, yeah. It's just like what we were talking about beforehand, where don't look into his eyes, he could take over. No, it's not. It's a collaboration between two people.
All right, I got to ask you, since I know you want to go to questions and our topics. I want your professional evaluation, Boris, on my introduction from my bio.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you going to let me introduce you?
No, no. Oh, you could do that.
Yeah.
No, I don't trust you just to read what it says.
I'll read what it says.
I don't actually trust you.
I wasn't going to read what it said.
I know. I know you well enough to go, I'm not doing that. Okay. All right. So this is what my bio says, but relevance to the setting of expectations based on language. Okay. So
okay.
That's the evaluative criteria. It says, special note, if you are introducing Jamie, please read / speak only the following text. Friends, we have a wonderful comedian for you today. You may recognize his face from his numerous television appearances or recognize his voice from any of the times he's been on the radio. We are all going to enjoy ourselves. The performance you're about to see is unique. Please welcome a really nice guy, Mr. Jamie Bendel.
Amazing. Not one credit in there.
I always thought from the standpoint of, I want to use words that you're going to enjoy yourself. We'll have a wonderful time. Setting the expectation that, oh, I'm going to like this.
I know. I was really getting warm to you right there. And I thought, okay, this is a guy I can relate to. And then you made me think of you as Mr. Jamie Bendel.
Do you know John Heffron?
Yes.
Okay. So John and I talked about one time, and John's a person who's very interested in interaction between performer and audience. So he and I have talked about the fact that he creates for himself on stage a space where he only stands when he has to have a negative interaction with the audience. And so he never uses the whole stage. So when he rewards, he's in a specific area. And when he negates or chastises, he's created a space that says, when I go stand over here, I'm making that a space where it's okay that this negative thing, and then I'm going to be able to leave that behind. And I go back to the space where good things happen.
Of course, he's using psychology. Yes. I was actually asked a very similar question from an audience member. Where should I sit in the audience, on the right or on the left? For a specific performer. And mm-hmm. I gave a really neat answer. Find out if the performer is right-handed or left-handed. Depending on which one they are, they will favor one side of the stage for positivity and the other side for negativity.
Yeah.
I feel like John should sell discounted seats in front of the negative section.
Well, in fairness, it's a place where he should only spend a limited amount of time. So, Boris, for your benefit and for those who may be listening to this as our first episode, we do a lightning round kind of question format. We allow our guest to select which of the three topics they would like to choose first. You will be answering questions about all three topics, so pick your choices as you want to go with them. Your choices are as follows. So you're picking one of them to do this segment. They are One Hit Wonders, O Canada, or In 5 Years.
Well, you hit it right on the nose. O Canada would be the one because that's where I call home most of the time.
All right. So we will start with O Canada, and you get the choice of determining whether we go clockwise or counterclockwise in the order we ask questions.
Clockwise. Let's move forward.
Clockwise, starting with Jamie.
All right. So what is the most unusual or funny fact about Canada that is relatively unknown outside of the country?
We don't all say A. Just like as you have been hearing me talk, chances are there was not one A in the whole thing. And
fortunately, though, you said A now, so I can just edit it back in throughout the entire podcast.
All right, Boris, complete the following phrase. Oh, Canada, why are you so
nice? In comparison to America, and I'm right now in the U.S. Doing shows, but I find Canadians are very, I wouldn't say apathetic. They're more calm in comparison. The audiences are wonderful and kind, and you won't get anybody to just stand up and be mean. While in U.S., you'll find a little bit more abrasiveness and chest pounding. Yes, I find Canadians very warm, very kind, very... See, I'm a hugger. So before COVID, everybody got a hug. That's a Canadian way of doing stuff, even though that would be more of a Southern thing in U.S. So there's a comparison.
Boris, have you ever had the opportunity to meet Olympic medalist and Canadian figure skating hero Jamie Sailey?
I have not. However, I did a TED Talk with Scott and Tessa Virtue.
Really?
So I did get a chance to meet Olympic athletes and actually have hypnotized some Olympic athletes to do better on stuff, including not only Olympic athletes, but the hockey and football heroes.
I was asking the question because when I was thinking about Adam's questions that he was going to ask, he often asks sports-related questions.
Right, but you didn't think to go to hockey. You didn't think you went Olympic sports. You didn't go straight to hockey.
Well, I watched a documentary about bad sports, and it had to do with people who had negative sporting outcomes and the challenges that they went through. And I learned a great deal about David and Jamie, who were America's sweethearts also for a while, when they were robbed in a skating competition in the Olympics in Calgary.
Yeah. Oh, can I bring up a name?
Sure.
Talking about sports, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm sure you guys know who that is. Went through so many different... he was one of my star performers on a stage in an NFL event.
Okay, we're going to come back to that after the break because I do want to hear more about hypnotizing Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic. The man is brilliant. Love him to death.
All right, we will be back with more of the Comedy Roundtable and our guest, Boris Cherniak, right after this.
Do you think that if he's got us hypnotized during this episode that he would actually tell us? Is there a hypnotist code that requires him to tell us that we are hypnotized?
One, there is no such thing as a hypnotist code.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% positive. Second thing is, I think hypnosis falls into the same category as a superpower.
Okay.
In that you're only allowed to use it for good.
So a villain...
There are no villain hypnotists. That's just a fact.
And so if a hypnotist...
Turned evil. Doesn't happen.
So the power of hypnosis must have some sort of reflective quality.
Its origins are based only in good.
But it has a reflective quality to hypnotize the hypnotist to where they cannot use it for evil.
Hypnotists are immune to being hypnotized. The kryptonite of hypnotists isn't hypnotism.
Now, don't you think that if a bunch of hypnotists were at lunch, that there'd be hypnosis flying all over that table?
I don't think so. I think because it's like game respects game, right? So it's not like Jordan versus Kobe, one-on-one, let's go out and determine who's the best. I'll try to hypnotize you, you try to hypnotize me. You just give a little hat tip, you got the power too. Here's how it works. Group of hypnotists go out to lunch.
Right.
They eat, they have a delightful time. They talk all about the kind of things that they talk about. End of the meal comes, they get up and depart. Nobody pays. Why? Because their server always says, on the house. Comedy Roundtable, bring a chair a little bit closer if you haven't already grabbed one and settle in for this continuing comedic conversation with comedy hypnotist, motivational speaker as well, Boris Cherniak. We were talking in the previous segment that you had an opportunity to interact with and hypnotize, I'm hoping you're going to say, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Before you say that, I will say that generally people really like our mid-segment portions, and this may be one of the first times that people are just fast-forwarding right through that. Because they heard about the Ryan Fitzpatrick story and they just want to get right to it.
I'm an avid fantasy football player, and I used to at one time coach Ryan Fitzpatrick in fantasy football, and I would sometimes start him.
Yeah.
I sometimes bench him, but I also sometimes start him. And now I want to know if I have a special potential hookup that Boris can put back into the universe.
Oh, a little trigger?
That maybe helps me get additional fantasy football points with Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic was absolutely brilliant, and I can't say that enough. In my show, there's always a star. And I'll tell you that. I did this in North Carolina for a special event for NFL. Mm-hmm. The show, I normally have a star that is usually centered around a person doing specific stuff over and over again, which escalates throughout the whole show. And I give them a name, Chip. Well, throughout the show, I keep screwing the name up and call them anything but, and they get progressively worse. Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick was that person, and he was one of the greatest people on that stage. And at the end of the show, I put specific suggestions to improve for the people to be better at whatever they do, specifically in this case, their game on the field. And you have seen how well Ryan Fitzpatrick has done over the years.
Boris, I would have hoped that that story started with originally one quarterback was supposed to be involved in being the participant, and then they were unavailable. And Fitzmagic came in and saved the entire day.
The original quarterback fell off the stage, got
injured. Fell off the stage, injured himself. Fitzmagic came in.
Right. Who knew?
Who knew Fitzmagic could only be an outstanding guy off the bench.
The weird thing is, you went back the next year. He wasn't there.
He was at an entirely different conference.
Right.
All right. So we now want to turn to our questions for this segment. Your two remaining subjects, you, of course, get the choice of which one you would prefer to do this segment, are either one-hit wonders or in 5 years.
Let's do one-hit wonders.
All right, so one-hit wonders, starting with you.
Is there an equivalent to the one-hit wonder for hypnotism? Or I'll expand that to comedy.
I would say yes. There are weekend warriors because hypnosis is all about, well, I can only claim to talk about stage hypnotism. Hypnosis is all about confidence, bravado, knowing the craft, knowing the variations. Because on stage, I play off of different little stimuli that are presented at me by the people on stage. If you know what I'm looking for, you can easily fool a hypnotist, but a lot of times hypnotists will give up. And when you're referring to one-hit wonder, give up in the sense they try and they don't succeed. I don't know if you're familiar with Maury Povich, who is actually retiring this year.
I saw that. Maury.
Yeah, Maury is retiring,
Maury,
and time, I love the man.
Maury, time for Maury to hang him up.
If you have ever seen people with really weird phobias on that show, I'm the guy that helps them. So I became a regular on the show, helping people with odd and unusual phobias.
Do you help them with the phobia that they are, in fact, the father?
That one, no.
That's a very specific Maury Povich joke. That's right. Come on. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty well played.
Believe it or not.
I have a terrible fear, Maury, of being the father.
Yeah, Maury has always been awesome to me, and I can't say that enough. They brought me in. The show was filmed always in two parts.
Where they are the father and where they are not the father.
Right. Where they scare them with whatever they were terrified of.
Yeah,
They filmed the whole father segment, and the stuff that I heard in the green rooms next to me was absolutely hilarious, as far as these are real people. I wish they were actors. I heard the fights behind the scenes. The way it works, they show the little blurb on the screen saying, if you have this, call the Maury Show now. By that weekend, they're in the studio.
All right. So, Boris, I usually think that people consider a one-hit wonder to be a unique success that never returns again. I'm going to ask you this question in a different way, and that is, what is something that you wondered about one time but never returned to?
One-hit wonder, well, for me, one-hit wonder was 10 years of owning a comedy club and all of the experiences that went along with it.
But
it wasn't a one-hit wonder. I had so many wonderful people that came through. I'll just throw out a few names that I booked. Ralphie May.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ralphie May was one of my opening acts. And Ralphie was a friend who used to open up for me all across Texas. We met at the Comedy Showcase in Houston way back when. But I traveled with him as an opening act forever, it seems like. And over the years, when I opened up a comedy club, he was the perfect choice. Because as Jamie, you and I know, in your own hometown, you're not always considered to be a star until you go away and come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was Ralphie's first big break, if you like, headliner break, because I thought he was ready. But the size of Ralphie did not allow him to fly easily or economically.
No, yeah.
All right. So in order to come to my club, he drove from Houston to Toronto. And if you're listening, Google that.
Right.
The distance is pretty big and back.
And if you can't find that, Google length of the Mississippi River.
Oh, right. Exactly. It's far.
Yeah.
So he drove up. So I booked him for 3 weeks instead once he made the drive, he could stay. And I still remember to this day that we got our liquor license the day we opened. And Ralphie was helping bring in the booze. Just before the show, and he was going up on stage. So that should tell you. Another one, Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah.
Mitch, I booked him before he hit it really big and mm-hmm. got the big, I think it was $250,000 or $500,000 developmental deal. So I booked him opening up my second club, also booked him for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sensing a pattern of the comedians that you booked.
No. Boris, don't answer that question. Let me answer that question for you, because I think that's, I understand what you were saying, Jamie, but I want to answer for our guest, and that is, if you have the good fortune to have longevity in this terrific business, which is stand-up comedy, unfortunately, you'll be in it long enough to see the premature death of some of the most talented people who are in our business.
I will rephrase that. It's the ability to recognize talent before anybody else does.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I wasn't saying that. You don't need to rephrase me, Boris.
I love what you said, but unfortunately, Mitch, I'll tell you this really cool
story. Don't say a third name, because that's like Final Destination 7, where you're putting a hex on him, Boris.
Absolutely not. Let's throw in a live person.
No, don't say that. No. Don't say the name.
I just need to say one thing. The Comedy Roundtable is not responsible for any deaths that occurred as the result of Boris.
This is the worst use of the mindset skill ever. This is the don't put that out into the universe.
Yeah, well, Mitch Hedberg, I absolutely love the guy, because I thought he was brilliant and not everybody got it. At times they thought he was high when he wasn't. It was a character that was stretched to such mm-hmm. a limit that was so believable.
All right, we will be back with our final segment with our guest, comedian, hypnotist, motivational speaker, Boris Cherniak, here on the Comedy Roundtable in just a moment.
Now, if someone starts at episode 1 of Comedy Roundtable and listens to every episode in order, they will find that, oddly enough, it has been a long time since there has been a mixtape question.
Oh, that's true.
And I thought with today's category of one-hit wonder that we would have a mixtape question, but we did not. And so I have the question to you.
Okay.
Who is the greatest one-hit wonder of all time? And there is a correct answer.
One right answer. Greatest one-hit wonder of all time?
Yes.
So I want to be sure, before I get my answer, I want the parameters of the question. This is the best one-hit wonder song of all time?
No, this is the greatest one-hit wonder.
This is the greatest one-hit wonder. And the definition of greatest is what? Superior to all
the
other
one-hit
wonders?
The most one-hitness.
The most one-hittest of all one-hits.
Although while we've been talking about it, I've come up with another one. So there's two correct answers.
Okay, that's why I wanted to make sure. Right. I wanted to make sure. So
if this
I would
goes
say,
too long, there'll be three or four probably. So
this
let's
is why
let's get
I
wanted, to the answer.
I didn't want to suggest to you that your question is not a one-hit wonder, because it's a poorly formed question.
I will accept that, and as we speak right now, there are still only two correct answers.
I would say that, under both knowing you as the questioner mm-hmm. and to the subject matter of a one-hit wonder, and greatest being the most one-hittest of all one-hits, meaning person who wrote the song never had a hit comparable in terms of recognition and awareness as the first song. That's the definition of one hit.
That's the basic definition of one right. hit. But I would say it is a one hit wonder. The most one hitness is the person whose hit is so great that people assume they have lots of other wonderful hits.
I think my answer is the correct answer. Based on your clarification, your answer is wrong. Okay. So I just want to set that before I give my answer. Greatest one hit wonder of all time. Happy birthday. It's the correct answer.
All right. So without commenting on what you said, there are three correct answers.
No, I gave the correct answer. The greatest one hit wonder of all time. Happy birthday to you.
All right. With all due respect to Come On Eileen and Never Gonna Give You Up, you might be right. Let's go back to the guest.
All right, sadly, we have only one topic remaining before we'll have to draw this episode of the Comedy Roundtable together, to a close, rather. Our last remaining subject matter for the show this evening is in 5 years, starting with Jamie.
Do you want to stay with clockwise, or do you want to switch it up and go counterclockwise?
You know what? Let's switch it up. Let's be different, outrageous, and wild and crazy people.
All right, counterclockwise, starting with Jamie.
All right. If you had to completely reinvent yourself and start doing something else with the hopes of becoming a master of the skill in 5 years? What do you start doing?
I would be a professional traveler. There's so many places I have not gotten a chance to get to. As a matter of fact, COVID kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I would have loved to visit places like Australia. I have never been to Bali. I was supposed to be in Bali before COVID. India, Singapore. I've never been to China. I absolutely love travel. I think, always when I get to a place, I go to eat where the locals would eat rather than the regular places. So I've been around the world. It's one of the greatest joys of my life to be able to, just even entertaining troops. I've been to Afghanistan twice, Kuwait six times, Bermuda, Japan, Korea.
You are a social influencer now as a traveler. What is the name of your travel show?
I don't have a name of a travel show. I have, everything that I do is at or slash Incredible Boris.
All Incredible right. Adventures with Boris.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yep. Copyright 2022.
I'm picking a different name for his travelogue, new Instagram handle, his TikTok profile. Mm-hmm. And that is In the Middle Seat with the Incredible Boris.
Oh, that's a good one.
It talks about getting engaged with the people around you.
Ah, yeah.
Experiencing the world and not making any presumptions.
I like that.
Right?
You are very good. I do ask for a window seat and sometimes fall asleep on it.
Yeah.
Instead of the person next to me. But in the middle seat will make perfect sense.
In the middle
seat. Disturb people on each side of me or drool on their shoulders.
You want to get in the community, you got to be in the middle seat. By the way, I just want to, this is unrelated to any of the subject matter of tonight's episode, but I want to state in the most authoritative way possible, the window seat does not control the shade.
Oh, okay. We're not getting into that right now.
Okay. I'm just saying, I just want to put it out there that you window seat sitters do not get to determine whether the shade is up or down. By the way, let me just go on the record to say the only position for a window shade is up.
You are half right.
I'm 100% right. Well, and as a matter of fact,
it's a mindset.
I'm going to put it on the record right now that I am aisle seat only.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put the window shade down, I'm reaching over from window seat and putting it back up.
So you have an aisle seat bias is what you're saying.
And how do you feel about kids?
Oh, I love kids. I'm 100% pro kids. And I'm totally fine with kids on planes. Like, I have no issues with crying kids on planes.
Completely agree. Kids on planes, they're just kids. They will do whatever they want to do. And sometimes, yes, they do cry. It could be annoying, but it's the most wonderful thing. And the parent has no control over how a kid behaves.
Yeah. But what if the kid closed the window shade?
The kid's going to learn that the window shade goes up.
Crying kid is fine, but kid who closes the window shade needs the air marshal to get involved?
I don't think that's the reason air marshals are there, but if it is a reason, if air marshals have jurisdiction to settle shade disputes, I'm 100% on board that window marshal would enforce shade up protocols.
I don't think that's fair because I think most air marshals have to sit by virtue of their job in the aisle, so they have an aisle seat bias. So you can't use the air marshal as the enforcer of the rule about window shades because they do not experience or appreciate the window seat passenger.
I'm saying I would claim citizen air marshal status when it comes to the legality of putting your shade up.
Yeah, what about a kid that's in the front seat that just speaks over and stares at you?
I'm playing with that kid the whole time. Me and that kid, we're going to be like besties by the time the flight is over.
What if they just make direct eye contact but do nothing else other than just a stare?
I'm on board with that. 100% on board. All right. My turn in 5 years?
Yes.
All right. Boris, if you are listening to this show and you have some aspect of your life that you want to change from the way it is currently, in 5 years, is there any aspect of your life that you cannot change for the better?
Of course. The best way to do that is change the dialogue inside your head. Change the words remove the can, won't, shall not, any of the negatives that guide you and move you towards the impossibilities. That's the only way, because you are the only one that is stopping yourself from achieving whatever you desire.
Let's leave it on the idea that each of us have the capacity through the words we use and our internal dialogues and the being conscious about the vocabulary that are being used around us and that we use with others to ensure that we appreciate and leverage the ability of our mind to influence our outlook on life.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Can you write that down so I can read it back?
So if we were going to look you up online, look, search Incredible Boris. That's the easiest way to do it.
You'll find a million things. Everything from videos. I have a website, incredibleboris.com.
Yep.
But all of my handles are at Incredible Boris. So if you search, I'm everything from Wikipedia to YouTube. There's a ton of stuff, millions and millions of views.
All right. We appreciate it, Boris. Thank you so much. Thanks for being our guest here on the Comedy Roundtable. Let's put the chairs back where they belong and call it an episode. We will see you next when we record next. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow not just the guests, but this show as well. 5-star reviews are appreciated both of guests and of the program.
Okay. Can I help? Can I help a little bit?
Yeah.
You will subscribe. You will enjoy, and you will forward all of these episodes to your friends.
Perfect. I appreciate it, Boris. Thank you so much. We will see you next time. For Jamie, the missing Adam, and our guest, Boris Cherniak, this has been the Comedy Roundtable. We are dismissed.